was fun to hear all of your responses and the way you're talking about who you are and sharing it with other people. That's exciting for me to hear that. You noticed some of these papers, these little handouts. It's just that I'm not going to go over and explain DISC to you, but it will help you understand it better. There's a lot of information in the profile you received. Read it from cover to cover. It will help you learn about yourself, but also how you are, how you think about people you work with, who you are to them and who they are to you. So developing and keeping healthy marriages, families, churches, businesses, and organizations isn't once and for all mastered. It's dynamic. New challenges arise. Old ones show up again. Persons leave. Others show up. We behave different when we get comfortable. We behave even differently when we're challenged. So turn with me in your profile to page 14. This page was really sobering to me when I see how human I am, how accurate it is, the way I see myself and others who are different than me. Now remember, at the very beginning, I said, and we all believed, that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed us just the way he wanted us. It doesn't mean that we're perfect or that we're not sinful, but we are wired a certain way. And so we said we believe that. And yet, when we live together, when we work together, it's not that easy to get along. Especially when someone doesn't see it the same way I do. So I just point this out. Look at page 10 in some of your quiet time and see how you look at other people. And it will challenge you to go before the Lord and practice hospitality and honoring someone else. I like to think in terms of last Christmas was probably the most challenging Christmas, getting our family around the table and serving, or I guess it was Thanksgiving dinner. As one was on a diet that had eliminated almost everything, okay? Another had lactose intolerance. Another was gluten-free. And another one was trying to lose weight. How do you honor everyone and have your typical Thanksgiving dinner? And yet, I wouldn't consider, you know, standing and saying, you know, I'm not going to serve dinner until you all get your diets, you know, your appetites back to normal. You just wouldn't do that. You would bend towards them and honor them and try to fix a meal and serve a meal that everybody could enjoy. That's what we need to do with our relationships. Bend towards them. Honor them. We're made to need each other. So, with the graphs on page 14, I see a lot of you have brought colored pencils. And I'm just, you also have in your stack of handouts that I gave you a graph that you're going to create for yourself. And it looks like this. It's not tried and true, it's not 100% accurate. But I put some descriptions on that graph that will help you see descriptions of your behavior in all three of your graphs, your private self, your core, or under pressure, and your public self. Put a dot at the place for each of the graphs and draw a line and make each of the graphs a different color so that you can see what happens to your behaviors. Now, was that clear instructions? Do you understand? Okay, so I want you to put all the graphs on this chart so you can see how your behavior changes and see what the description words, give it some meaning. This information isn't for all of us to see or to share necessarily today, but just for your own, to increase your awareness. Become a little bit more familiar that, hey, I may not know everything about myself after all. We'll move on a little bit. Liz is going to talk to us about working as a team. And with this, you also got a handout called Behavioral Principles. Most challenges and conflict between two people have to do with one being task-oriented and one being people-oriented. Second to that is the difference in the pace we work. One works with urgency, chop chop, and another one works with to slow down the process. Whoa, 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 let's slow down here a bit. Looking at these behavioral principles, you'll see that the D and the I are at top. It's like they could hold hands because they both work very fast. And they like to work with product or task. The D and the C below it, could hold hands because they are task-oriented. For the D, it's the bottom line. For C, it's more of the intricacies. So they would see eye to eye on the task. The C and the S could hold hands because they work slower. They're the ones that are saying, hey, wait, 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 we need more time. The I and the S could hold hands because they love people. They love to work with people. In fact, if you can't have a good relationship and a good warm-up time with people, you've offended them. They might say, wow, I don't feel comfortable. So that just, you can look now at, some of you have teams here, the Lexington team down here. You have four people. Are you all wired the same way? No. You'll see now, if you take those four people, you could see which ones are going to have the most conflict because they are wired differently. You know, I did see the one is high I. No? S? Just name them. What are you high in? All four of you. Oh, okay. Actually, I think it's I. Yeah. So, did you do the test? Did you do the test? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of somebody else then. So the D and the S, though, did you see that they're opposites? They have really not a lot in common. Okay? So not there sets up some possible tension, and they can start talking about that. They can actually start saying, all right, now you know what? You all, I believe that you are good people and you have the best in mind. But it's still hard to work with you. I'm not going to pull that out of the bag. But Ellis and I, you know, he is a high I. And I am high SC, actually I too. But he's wanting to move fast. And I'm wanting to slow down. Okay? And I think I might have said this last year, but, you know, he's a verbal processor. I'm an internal processor. So what he says out loud, I take as gospel truth. And if he doesn't carry it out, I think he's broken a promise. And I'm hurt. Because I'm an S. But on the other hand, when he shares something, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and he thinks I'm pouting. Sometimes I am. But I'm just still thinking. I'm still thinking. So if we don't know that about each other, we can really misread each other. And that's when sometimes when tensions arise in the workplace. And then we don't flourish. All right, now back to the window. Self-awareness, self-disclosure. We tend to shy away from both. Being vulnerable is not on my bucket list. The goal of developing healthy interpersonal relationships is to increase this white open area. But hey, we need boundaries. We should not disclose too much too soon. You know the person that just shared way more than you wanted to know or needed to know. On the other hand, did you ever notice that some relationships just don't go anywhere? Healthy balance is important. My window. How can I increase my open area with you? Earlier, we all revealed a bit about our hidden self when we stood, letting everybody know what our strongest behavior is. How did that feel? Were you glad to share that? Or did you feel exposed? Recently, the employees and employers of a local business had completed DISC several months ago and had requested a follow-up lunch and learn. One thing we did was an exercise to reveal more of the hidden self. Everyone was to share how they like to be greeted and treated first thing in the morning when they walk in the door at work. The first one said, "Don't talk to me until I have my computer booted and a cup of coffee in my hand." And the second person said, "If I'm not greeted with eye contact, a smile, and a morning greeting, I feel like you don't like me and that I'm not important." This was the first time that this group of people had really even thought about what their need was, self-awareness, or disclose to the whole group what would be helpful first thing in the morning when they came to work. So it'd be interesting to know, see some follow-up, to see what kind of honoring there is in understanding each other. But there's another kind of revealing the hidden that I can do for myself. It's called self-care. As a young girl, maybe 4 or 5, I was violated by a farmhand. I immediately went into the house and told my mother. She hesitated and said, "If it ever happens again, tell me." It didn't. I carried that all by myself, except for my mother, trying to make sense of it. I reasoned in my mind that I was too young for it to matter or for it to mean anything. Until about maybe 15 years ago, I was at a ladies' retreat, and at noon, I was talking one-on-one with a woman more mature than me. Something I said caused her to ask, "Rita, were you ever sexually abused?" And my response was, "Oh, no. Well, you know, when I was quite young, but I was too young, it didn't matter." She paused but didn't push me and said, "Until it does." Several years later, an event re-triggered all this emotional hurt and abuse that was left unattended as a little girl. I am grateful for that moment when my friend gave me permission to name it when I needed to. Low self-esteem, mistrusting males, suspicious of leaders, to name a few, resulted. And all of that trickled down into all of my relationships and accomplishments and my effectiveness in working with a team. I am healthier since the hidden is revealed, since it's revealed to myself and to others. Now, looking at my blind spot, my blind self, how will I get help to decrease the blind self in me? From you all, from others. How will I find out the things you know that I don't?